Glad you're here. You may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome to Keystone Church, where we are singing loud, we're celebrating big, because God is good, He's faithful, and we're excited to sing about it. That's good to sing about it. My name is Jody, and I want to welcome you. I'm honored to speak this weekend to our church, and I love Keystone Church. This is a special place, and God is doing some really special things, and if you're a guest here today, we're glad you're here. We celebrate you every single weekend. This weekend's no different. Keystone, can we welcome all of our VIP guests? Yeah, we're glad you're here. Pumped you're here. You came this weekend. We want to invite you back next weekend because we have Christmas services, 8 of them. And we love Christmas at Keystone Church because we love celebrating the birth of Christ. And we love doing it big. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. So you want to come back, bring your friends, bring your family. I know Brandon has a special message for us, and you don't want to miss out on that. And so be here for Christmas. Make it a priority for you to come and experience Christmas at Keystone Church. I'm honored to speak today. Thank you, Brandon and Susan, for this opportunity. These are two incredible leaders. They are a gift to our church. They're a gift to this community. And I'm honored to be a part of Keystone and leading here. And it's exciting, really exciting, what God is doing and what He's going to do. I wanted to speak this weekend about pressure, living life under pressure. Now, when I drive around the neighborhood, and maybe drive around your neighborhood, and I look around, see people shopping and traffic, right? Yeah, it's really traffic all this time of year. It seems really like a fun, you know, it's the happiest time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Yes, and it is. It is the most wonderful time because we're celebrating something wonderful, and that's the birth of Christ. But I think many times, amidst the wonderful spirit of Christmas, there is a lot of pressure. Because for some, this is not a wonderful time of the year. For some, this is a really sad time of the year. Because this brings back memories that you'd like to forget. This brings up financial pressure that you're going to pay later for. Pressure. Today I want to talk about how to live life under pressure. Just a little survey, no show of hands, but do you know someone at work or in your family or maybe in your life, a leader in your life, and they seem to handle pressure really well, like they thrive under pressure. They walk into moments in the boardroom, or they walk into moments on the sales team, or they walk into the moments in the classroom, and they thrive. Maybe it's athletically. Like, give them the ball in the moment under pressure, and they thrive. They win. Or maybe you're the opposite. You're like, that's a small list, Jody. The longer list is the people that in my life that I look at, or maybe this is you, and you seem to look at pressure, and you're like, no, I want nothing to do with that. Don't give me a test. Don't give me pressure. Don't let me speak. Don't let me do any of that. I want to run from pressure. And I think many times we look at pressure and we see champions and we see chokers, right? We see the champion who can kick the field goal through the uprights, and then you see the choker who somehow misses it wide left or wide right. And then in our scene, in our city, we've got a field goal kicker that can, he misses an extra point, but he can hit from 70 yards. It's like, what's up with that? Like, is he a champ or a choker? I don't really know. I don't trust him with either. Pressure. Pressure's everywhere. I had the chance to speak to our students about pressure this Wednesday night. Pressure's real for them. Pressure athletically, pressure academically, pressure to keep their streak going. Like, if you don't get that, that means you think of streak differently than what they think of streak. You grew up with one definition of streak, and you weren't doing that, right? But when we go to camp and we take a student's phone away, it's like pressure. How am I going to keep my streak going? And they pop their leg like that. How am I going to keep my streak going? Pressure. Pressure to be liked. Pressure to cut corners because we have this financial pressure over here, so I got to get ahead. So I'm going to cut a little corner here. I'm going to cut a little corner there. Pressure to cheat. Pressure to be successful. Pressure to interview well. Nail that interview. I got pressure going into this interview. How am I going to handle the pressure? Pressure to hit that note. Pressure to hit that stunt. Pressure to hit the shot. Pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Even when I'm talking about pressure, I can just see the thought bubbles in the room. Y'all are your sad faces because you're feeling the pressure. Like, thanks, Jody. This is really encouraging. I feel so much better because you brought up all the pressures of my life. Thank you. Pressure to get the right gift. Is she going to like it? Is he going to like it? What's the pressure you're facing? And more importantly, what are the answers you're following? Because the world has answered this question on how to handle pressure. You know what the world has says, the culture has says? They've said, you just cope with it. You just cope with it. You cope with it. You just avoid it, right? Just go to a different place. Take a drink. You're under a lot of pressure. You need a drink. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you think, yeah, there's not enough drink to handle my pressure. Or maybe you've bought that lie and you've run to too much drink to handle your pressure and it's left you sad, lonely. Maybe a friend is saying, well, just, you know, take this. This will take you to a new place if you just smoke this or pop this pill because we want to just get away from pressure. Come on, you can just leave the pressures behind. How about this one? You know, dad's under a lot of stress at work. He's under a lot of pressure. Yeah, you think? The temperature in the home goes from 98 to 198 when dad walks in the room because he's under pressure. And so they say, well, just leave your pressure at work. That's what you should do. Oh, okay, world. How does that work? How do I leave my office or my cubicle and say, pressure, you stay here. I'll pick you up on Monday when I return to work. Because they should say, you just leave it at work. Okay, that's easy. Thank you. But you know what? That's not helping us. It's not helping us. Pressure. Coping. You could eat it away. You could turn to all the wrong things. They may be good gifts in your life, but they're really bad gods for your life. And we run to these because we're under pressure. And there's the other side. You know, you need more sleep. Okay, thank you. It doesn't help. I need meds to get more sleep. That's not helping me. I'm not getting more rest. I may be getting more sleep, but I'm under so much pressure that I'm not getting more rest. I don't wake up rested. Well, you need exercise. Okay, I've tried that, and that doesn't work. And you know what? I've seen really people that exercise well, they eat right, and I've seen them buckle under pressure because it's not always the answer. Live a balanced life, they say. Okay, thank you, doctor. I'll live a balanced life. So I have 5 children. Ages 4 through 14, I can't handle the homework for the top 2. I don't know what I'm going to do in the future. This is pressure, and I'm supposed to balance this. I've got a marriage. I've got family. I've got a ministry here at Keystone Church with Brandon and Susan that we're thriving and it's moving. It's a lot of energy and excitement. So how do we balance all this? You know the thing about balance is someone always loses in balance. Someone always loses. Don't believe the lie in your life that balance will fix your problems. It won't because someone loses. One kid loses. Your wife loses. Your job loses. Somebody loses when we handle pressure with just a balanced life. I want better answers. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want better answers. I want better answers. I want better answers. If the culture says cope, and I don't like that answer, that's just me. I don't know what you think about that, but it's not working. What does the Bible have to say about pressure? When we're under pressure, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? What is the truth from the scriptures that says how we handle pressure? And we're going to look today at a story with the life of Christ, because if we're going to look how someone handled pressure, let's look to Jesus. I mean, come on. If there's a model for pressure, let's go to the best model ever, ever. That's Jesus. So we're going to look at the story in the life of Christ today. But before we do that, I want to read a verse over you. Hebrews 10, 35 through 36. And it's kind of an overarching verse, and then we'll talk about the story here in a moment. It says this in Hebrews 10, verses 35. So do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence. When I speak this, when I say this verse, say confidence with me. So do not throw away your confidence. See there, you're already feeling better. Yeah, see? And it will be richly rewarded. So you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I see 3 things out of this verse, 3 words that I'm like, okay, I'm in. I don't want to cope. I want confidence. I'm tired of coping. I want to live the confident life. If pressure is coming, I want confidence. And it says here, you need to persevere. Okay, this is God speaking to you. So if you want confidence, you need to persevere. Thank you. That helps me. Now I'm in. So when you've done the will of God, that's key, God, you will receive what he has promised. What he has promised. So I see confidence, I see persevere, and I see promises. I like those answers better than what the culture offers. Because I'm going to live life under pressure. I just need to be told, okay, how, God? What does it look like to persevere? We're going to look at that today. Because I believe there is, within pressure, God offers us a way to persevere so that ultimately we can receive his promises. I met my wife, Amy, my freshman year of college. And when I got to know Amy, I knew she was a basketball player because in my college, basketball was a big deal. And you always see the athletes going over to the gym and they're all always wearing their game day hoodies, basketball hoodies, and they're all dressed alike. And so you kind of knew who they were. And so when I met Amy, I knew she was a basketball player, but I really didn't know to what extent. And so we started talking through the summer between our freshman and our sophomore year, and I got to know more about her basketball life. And I learned that she's a really good high school player, state championship, lost by one, crushing loss. So it was all these experiences growing up. Even on her license plate, it said Amy 33, because that was her number. She was all in. If you've had a personalized license plate, come on, man. That's Amy 33. She's like, that's me. I'm 33. And so, as I got to know her more, I learned that she wasn't just a player, she was a really good player. I'll never forget the first time I saw her play as a freshman year, redshirt freshman year, because she blew out her knee her freshman year. So she was playing her first game of her freshman year. I could take you to the seat today where I was sitting when I watched her play her first basketball game. Now, I grew up at L.D. Bell. Go Raiders, okay? Now, at L.D. Bell, I was not showing up that early for the girls' basketball game, okay? Don't judge me. I'm just saying. I wasn't. I didn't see this exciting game where, people were slamming and dunking. That may change these days. But back then, I don't want to show up early for that. I go to the guys' game. But now I was hanging out with Amy, and if Amy's into basketball, I guess, I'm into basketball now, right? Like, woo, yeah, college basketball for girls, yes. Awesome. So we went to her first game, and I saw something. I was like, wow. I saw Amy Nichols at the time, little Amy Nichols. I saw her go off her first game of her freshman year. I saw her go 9 for 11 from three-point land. 9 for 11. That's Steph Curry level, bro. You don't know nothing about that. 9 for 11. The whole gym was, what? You kidding me? No way. Big pressure game, two really good teams, and they needed her to come through in the clutch. 9 for 11, 33. And her number was 33. 33, right? And my boys to this day, they wear 33. Because Dad was a scrub. B-team scrubs, where you at? Come on now, here we go. That's right, baby. There's a place for you, there's a place for me. Always. So the coach is like, so what number do you want to give your son? 33. Oh, is that your high school number? No. That was mom's. But you know what I saw that day? I saw an event. I saw an event in her life where she went off. She went crazy. 33 points. And she continued to have success in basketball. And as I got to know her more, I saw kind of the story behind the story. See, I saw the event. I'm like, man, she's so gifted. She's so talented. Wow, wow, wow. And that's all true. But you know what I saw after that as we got to know each other a little bit more? I saw the process of preparation. Every day after practice, 100 three-pointers every day. I know because I was rebounding. I'm going to hang out with this girl. I'm going to go rebound, I guess. Yeah. Every day. All around the arc, 100, 153s every single day. Because you know what Amy learned, and I think a lot of leaders get this, is that they're not going to wait for the moment to define them. They will be prepared when the pressure hits. And oftentimes we look at other people like, I want that marriage. I want that life. I want to do that what that leader does. I love how my boss does this. And we want these things, but we don't want to do what they did to get there. I want to do that. I want to hit threes like that. Well, then pick up a ball and start shooting 100, 150 shots a day. Start preparing. And when we deal with pressure, I see three key phases to the game, Jason Garrett. I see three key phases. One is you're going to be prepared for pressure. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to be prepared. Yeah, you're going to be prepared. Another key phase of the game, we are going to see purpose under pressure. See, I believe God has purpose under pressure. We will be prepared. We will walk into it with purpose. And then finally, we're going to get power. There is power available to you and to me under pressure. Let's look at a story today. Luke 22, the life of Christ, verses 39 through 46. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Thank you. 39. Here we go. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And there he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and he knelt down and he prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently. And he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Verse 45, at last he stood up again. He returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep. Exhausted from grief, why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so that you will not give into temptation. Not give into temptation. This is a pressure moment for Jesus. And I believe today we can learn something from the life of Christ on how to handle pressure God's way. This is really a bad day for Jesus. Jesus, it says here, he came from the upper room. He had just spent time with his 12 disciples in the upper room. The Last Supper, where he's talking to them about what's to come. And he's having this last moment with the 12. And so, from that moment, you can sense pressure in that upper room. And then between that moment and this moment, we see two things happening. One, we see that Judas, who was with him in the upper room, goes to betray Jesus. And then we see him call out in Peter, the fact that Peter, within the next 12, 24 hours, is going to deny and betray Jesus three times. And Peter's like, no way. And he's like, yes, you will. Pressure. I mean, if you've had someone betray you in one time ever, heartbreaking. This is within moments of each other. His 12, two of them are betraying him. He's feeling the pressure. He's feeling the pressure. It's a bad day. And the pressure is mounting. I think there's a few things we can look at the life of Christ right here and ask ourselves some questions. And the first question I would ask, it says, then accompanied by the disciples. Accompanied by the disciples. My question for you is, who accompanies you? Who are your people? Now, Jesus had people. Now, did Jesus need people? No, he didn't need them. He didn't have to have them, but he had them. And so, who are your people? Who are your people? Who accompanies you in life? Who walks with you through life? Are you doing life all by yourself? Lone Ranger Christian, I got this. I don't need people. I'm all good. Actually, you do. It'd be good for you to have some people in your life. The people that I'm going to talk about are the right voices for your life. But if you're going to handle pressure, maybe you looked at moments, you're like, I didn't handle that well. Well, maybe the first question you ask is, who are my people? Who is speaking into my life? Who are the voices? It says in Matthew 26, says this. This is the Matthew's version of the same moment, but Matthew's writing this. Luke is writing the other one. This is Matthew's version. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. But this time it says this in Matthew. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. We didn't hear that in Luke, but we hear that in Matthew. That there were 12 in the upper room. so much pressure in the upper room that one peeled off, Judas, couldn't handle it. And then 11 come into the garden. 11 walk with Jesus into the garden. 11 continue to help carry the pressure. They're other feeling the pressure. They're all 11 are entering into the garden. And then we see this moment where Jesus says, you, and you, come with me. Peter, James, and John, come with me a little further, would you? You've been on the outside of a meeting you didn't get invited to at work. You're like, hey, boss, you need me too? You want me to come to that meeting? You want to invite me? Your boss is like, no. You're not invited in. Imagine the other disciples. They're just like, all right, we'll stay out here. Just we'll stand guard. Anybody comes, we'll fight them. But the other three went in a little further. I think there's a little principle here for our lives that as the pressure gets greater, the circles can get a little smaller. That when pressure for Jesus was getting bigger and bigger, there's only a few that could go further with him because the pressure was too much for all. Judas had already left. He was done. Pressure had got to him. It had got to him. He chose a different path. And then he says, you three, come with me. What does this look like for your life? I would tell you that when you're under immense pressure, you should be cautious of who you allow in to your life. I don't know if this Christmas at the family dinner, we should all be talking about your pressures. Honestly, if I can just speak honestly, you don't need all their voices, maybe. Maybe you don't want to know how your uncle handles pressure in his life because you look at your uncle's life, you're like, I don't want that life. Oh, what you need to do is da-da-da-da-da. No. No. As the pressure grows, the voices in your life are more important because here we see the more pressure, the more vulnerability. So you get more vulnerable. We've seen at Keystone, marriages on fire, brokenness, deceiving one another. And I can tell you, our strategy is, hey, let's get the circle tight and small and trusted. And let's bring people in. Oh, a biblical counselor? Sure, we'll bring you into this circle. Oh, a staff member to walk with you? Yes, we'll bring that in. Oh, a freedom team member? Yes. And out of honor and respect, we walk through the pressure, God's way. So as the pressure intensifies, the circle of friendship, circle of connection of who's speaking in, ask the question, are these the right voices? Maybe a few questions you can ask to filter these moments is, man, do they love the Lord? Are these buddies from work that we go happy hour with and they're speaking into my life on how I should handle my marriage or my parenting? Come on now. Now, if they love the Lord, okay. But let's ask the question. Do they love the Lord? Do they love God's truth? Do they celebrate what God has to say for your life, not what the world has to say to your life or how to do it or what your mom taught you or dad taught you? That this is the truth for your life in the season of pressure all the time. So for us to be prepared, right people, trusted voices that want to see you win. They're for you. They're not judging you. They want to speak truth into your life in love. It's the right circle of friends. This is a great place, Keystone. To the good circle of friends, trusted friends who can speak into your life. It's a gift for your life. It says this in verse 39. Jesus left the upstairs room and he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. Say as usual. As usual. As was his flow. As he went through pressure, he had a place. Do you have a place? Where's your place? Where's your place? Now, I'm not saying you have to have the same place the rest of your life. Every moment it's got to be here. What I'm saying is under pressure moments, you may want to change up your rhythm of relating to God a little bit because you're under new pressures. So I made it a new place. I made a new spot where I connect with God. Now, God can connect with you anywhere. But there's something about returning to a place. That chair at your house. That back patio. That spot out on the water, where do you go under pressure? Where do you go? Have a place where you go with God. Have a place. Where's your place? It says this, then he told them, pray that you would not give into temptation. And he walked away about a stone's throw and he knelt down and prayed. He knelt down. He knelt down. His posture changed a little bit. All of a sudden, standing and talking to the Lord, he's like, you know what? I mean, I can stand and talk to the Lord. It's okay. But it says, he got on his knees like this. He knelt down. See, it's even awkward as I'm doing this with you right now. It's a little different. A little strange, right? Get on the knees. In great pressure, I'll do awkward. In great pressure, I might do a little something different. In great pressure, I may have to change my posture because I just, for that day, I'm going to change it up. God, I want to relate to you. I want to connect with you in a different way today. I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to kneel down for you. I want to pray to you this way today. Why? Because I think it's different. It's changing it up. You kneel down. I've got a family member who said, at one point, she got some really bad news. She got a bad call from someone one day saying, hey, your daughter's been in a horrific accident. She's been in a bad accident. And we're life-flighting her to this hospital. Helpless situation. You know what she told me? She said, I couldn't do anything else but kneel before the Lord. And she said, and then I felt the Lord telling me to get on my face before him. That may seem a little weird or awkward to you and I right now, but you know what? It wasn't for her. God led her to do it, and she did it because of the pressure. The pressure. See, we want to grab onto it when you're saying, God's saying, just let go. Let go of it. Trust me with the pressure. With your posture. Change your posture. Maybe you're in a season of pressure. Maybe you will in the future. It's like, today I'm going to go to a different place, and I'm going to do something different. God, I want to connect with you. But then when you do all this, it says he prayed. So we should pray. I know this seems very obvious, but let's make it clear. We need to pray. We need to pray. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Pray. Receive from the Lord. Pray. Listen to the Lord. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. I was thinking about this message this week. I hang out at the Keller Point a little early throughout the week to work out. And some days, I'll notice people. I've been noticing this lately, and then it came to me this week as I was thinking about this message. Because at the Keller Point, I go a little early, and I work out with a couple guys. And I've noticing this, that there's people that get up early. And none of you do this. None of you do this. They get up early. They come to the point, or your gym, and they got the right shoes on. They got the right outfit, they're looking strong, looking awesome, and they connect with everybody. Hey, Larry, welcome back. Yeah. Hey, Chris, welcome back. Yeah. Everybody knows them. It's so awesome. Yeah, yeah. I'm at the gym, right? And then I've noticed this sometimes, that they do more connecting with others than they do working out. Maybe you've seen this at your gym. They love the mirror. But have you raised your heart rate at all? And then I see a 70-year-old man on the elliptical. And that guy is leaving it all there. He is sweating. He is giving it. He is going for it. And you know the difference. The difference is he is taking it personal. He's taking his health personal. He's taking his exercise personal. And the others, they're just there to hang out and connect. And that's all, you know, that's great. It's just not the point of going to work out. And I would say sometimes you can be all the right positions. You can come here. You can come in here, experience worship. You can get in the right posture. But you have to pray. You got to talk to God. Listen to God. Let these things make your pressure points personal with God. That's what he's saying here. It says here. Verse 41, he walked away about a stone's throw. He knelt down and he prayed. And then he says this in verse 42. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. So we've talked about preparation. Now let's move to purpose. What is the purpose of pressure? Why pressure? God, why are you doing this? What is the point of all this? Why pressure in my life? You ever go to a meeting at work or with your team, and someone's always asking the question, now, what's the purpose of this meeting? I love that question because I don't want to meet just to meet, right? I want to meet with purpose. There's something about when we know the purpose, all of a sudden I can wrap my head around it and, Lord willing, my heart around it when I know the purpose. Now, sometimes God gives you the purpose. He says, do this because of this. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes he says, do this. And we have to say, why? He says, because I want you to. Because I'm leading you to do it. I don't have to tell you the why. I can't tell you why. But the purpose for baptism is, it's not like we have holy water out there. We didn't truck in all this water from Jerusalem or the Jordan River. It's Keller water. All right? Get wet? Okay, go under, come up. Yes, baptism. Is there a purpose? Why water? Does it wash my sin away? No, Jesus did that. It just says, go get baptized. Okay. Maybe that's a word for you. You've been waiting on all the purpose and all the answers. Maybe you just need to follow God and say, yes, I don't get the purpose. You're leading me to do it. I'm going to do it. Purpose. In the midst of pressure, let's be reminded of our purpose, of our purpose. It says here, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. In eighth grade, I talked my parents into signing me up for karate. Yes. Because I grew up in the 90s and Ralph Macchio was my childhood hero. Anybody else feel me in the room? Yes. Karate Kid 1 was my mantra. And I thought if I took karate, girls would like me more, right? I'd be able to, man, I was a little scrawny little punk. So if I figured if I learned karate, man, look out, man. Jody's coming through the halls now. Y'all better look out. It didn't help. Didn't help. But what they taught me in karate early on is different pressure points. Pressure points. There's all these pressure points on your body that only a few know, right? Only have the sensei to tell you, right? Pressure points. Pressure points. And they taught me all these pressure points. So if you walk up to me in the lobby, I'll pressure point you and ridge hand you. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Pressure points. You know, the whole point of a pressure point when someone is coming after you is for you to get them to submit. It's like the tap out, right? Okay, I submit. I'm tapping out. I'm done. Submission. Pressure points. And here we see under pressure, you and I, all of us, have a choice. And if you don't take anything else away today, remember this. You have a choice under pressure. You have a choice. God gives you the free choice. Thank you, Lord, for it, that we're not a bunch of robots, that we're forced to choose him. No, he is God, and we can either choose his way or our own way. This is the point of pressure. The point of pressure is, God, I'm under pressure. Will I choose your path or my path? Submission. You know the beauty of submission? See, submission has a bad word. It's a bad reference in our world. Like submission's like, oh, submission really is devotion. It's a sign of great strength. That you submit to God's authority, it's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of great strength. That you can deny what you want for what God has for you, that is great strength in our life. But many times we're in our pressure and we're like, no, I want to go my way because I have control. I want to do my thing because then I can control the outcome. And then it's on me. I'm not trusting God with it. I'm trusting me. God, I know how to handle this moment for my family. I don't need your voice in my life. I've got this. When God is saying here is submission. See, Jesus was perfect. He didn't have a divided heart with God. He was speaking right here what he already believed and knew. God, if there's any other way, can you remove this cup? If there's any other way, but if not, your will be done. See, submission starts with the heart. Starts in the heart. Submission starts with the heart. Proverbs 3:5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings under pressure. I added that in. In all your ways, submit to him under pressure, and he will make your paths straight under pressure. I don't know about you, but I want the straight path. Can I? God, would you line up to me the straighter path? I've been on enough detours in my life, detours in my relationships. God, give me the straight path. Could you just line up the straight path for me? Could you make it clear? Well, if that's your heart today, God's saying, here you go. If you want me to line up your straight path, trust in me. Don't trust in your own understanding. Trust in my understanding. Trust in my will. So that all of your ways, there's that word again, submit to him. Submit to him. And he will make your path straight. Be prepared. When you're in your preparation, it's got to be personal. In the middle of pressure, maybe you just need to tell your wife, hey, we're under pressure. Let's talk. Why? Let's remind ourselves, why? Why are we under pressure? Oh, yeah, okay. It's a pressure point for our life. We got to be careful. Got to be careful. We're under pressure. Could be vulnerable. Who are the voices speaking into our life? Remind yourself of the purpose, and then finally, power up under pressure. Get the power. Power under pressure. It says in verse 42, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Says in verse 43, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Pause right there. God, is there a different way that you could make this happen? Could you remove this cup from my life? And God answered. He didn't say, yes, we can change the plan now. Could have, but he didn't. He didn't remove the cup. He didn't remove the cup of suffering. He didn't remove the cup of your sin and my sin. He didn't remove the cup of abuse. He didn't remove the cup of rejection. He didn't remove the cup of loneliness. He didn't remove all that cup. He said, nope, that's still the plan. We're moving forward with the plan. I'm not removing the cup, but I'm going to send strength to you. I'm going to send strength to you. I'm going to strengthen you as you go through the pressure. That's not coping. That's confidence. That's God's confidence in your life for him to send strength to you under pressure. Let's keep reading. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. This is not poetic language. This is real. Jesus at this point is under so much pressure in his life, there is blood, sweat, blood coming down his face. There's stories of people going to battle in history, and they're under so much pain, so much pressure, that they're so fearful of the battle ahead that they begin to sweat blood. Jesus was strengthened, but he was sweating blood for your sin, for my sin, because the cup of pressure was heavy. Cup of pressure. It says, at last he stood up again, and he returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping, he asked. Then he said, get up and pray. So that you would not give in to temptation. So that you would not give in to temptation. Because remember, more pressure, more vulnerability. Pray, guys. Pray. We're under pressure. We don't want to give in to temptation. We need to pray. We need to pray. But they had fallen asleep from grief. That's what it says. They had fallen asleep because of the pressure, because of the grief. They couldn't. It wasn't like they just fell asleep because they were tired. It's because they fell asleep because the pressure had gone so bad that it basically shut down from grief, from sorrow, from the pressure of this moment. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the cup of suffering wasn't in the hopes of the sleeping disciples, that the power for Christ wasn't coming from the disciples who had fallen asleep, that the power for Christ to take the pressure, to walk through the pressure, was coming from God. And your source and my source is not from people. Our source is from God. And if God uses people to power us, great. If he uses people to strengthen us, great. But hear me, friend, the source is the same. God uses people in your life to strengthen you. But it is not from them, it is from him. It is from him. So be reminded that people are not your source of power. Your boss is not your source of power. Your mother and your father, maybe you love them, maybe it's a strange relationship, I don't know, but it's not your power. That friendship group, your power is not from them. God may use friendships in your life to comfort you, to give you peace, to encourage you, but hear me, the power is coming from him and it's flowing through them to your life. The power source is from God. And he strengthened. He sent an angel in this moment of great pressure. 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 And hear me, you're not someone's power for their life. You're not the power. If you get something from people coming to you for advice, coming to you, and you get something out of it, like you're, oh man, they're coming to me now. How great is this? I got a word for you. Eventually, you'll fall asleep on them. It's never enough. You don't have enough strength on your own to power them. It's a bad source. Good friend, bad source. God's the source. And how he uses people in your life is a gift from him. So today, maybe it's the course correction for your life. Am I running to the people for power, or am I running to God for my power under pressure? I'd like to conclude today by reading Psalm 27 over us. Last weekend, when we were singing, Brian read this over our church, and I was sitting right down here, and I thought, man, this is good for me. I'm going to have the band come on out, because it'll sound better with them underneath me. I guarantee you that. Psalm 27. This is a psalm from David. David, Goliath, that big moment. Many people look at the event of David and Goliath and think, man, that guy handled pressure well. He did, but he was also prepared. His relationship with God was not perfect, but it was personal for him. And God gave great power to David. Now, David brought on some of the pressure himself by bad choices. So if you feel like you're out today because of bad choices, I got a word for you. No, you're at the right moment, the right time for God to come in and help you. Says this in Psalm 27 that many people believe that David was running from enemies. He was subject to all sorts of slander. People were talking bad about him. They were blogging about him. They were tweeting about him on Facebook. They were slamming him. It was really bad for David. Even says they believe that he was right at the moment when he was about to lose his mother and his father. Experienced that kind of loss. Pressure. Under it. And when the pressure hit David, this is what he wrote. I want to read this over you. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and it's my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and they will fall. And though a mighty army surrounds me, say surrounds you today, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident under pressure. I added that in. Confident. What's that word again? Confident. I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds to you. Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, even if your father and your mother walk out on you, you can have confidence under pressure. Yes. O God of my salvation, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands. For they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. Thank you, God, while I am here in the land of the living, waiting patiently for the Lord. Be brave and be courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I got a word for you today. That there is point in the pressure. If you'd submit to God's plan for your life, if you'd submit to his will. When you're on the battle and you're under pressure, you may feel surrounded on all sides, at job, at your work, at home, with your family. But I got a word for you today. If you know the Lord and you call him your Savior, he surrounds you with strength. You may be sweating, but he's got strength for your life. I guarantee it. It's a promise. It's a promise. I love every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you're battling, and you're under pressure, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you just need prayer, I'd love for you to raise your hand and just pray. I'm under pressure. And no one looking around. Thank you. Thank you all over the room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you, Father. This room, we're under pressure. We are under pressure. And the good news is, Father, it may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by you, Father. You give us strength, you give us purpose, and you give us power. God, I pray we'd be people who are prepared for the battle, that we'd walk into it believing and trusting you. And if we walked in today needing you more, God, I pray you'd strengthen us, you'd talk to us, and you would meet us right where we are. And may we look surrounded to our family, to our friends. We're surrounded by you. God, touch us, talk to us, lead us. You're good, Father. Thank you for it.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look that. This is a room of victory. This is a room we know we are surrounded by something bigger than what surrounds us. What an incredible morning. You may go ahead, have a seat. I got to tell you, that was an incredible word from Jody, was it not? My name is Jeff. I'm on our staff team here at Keystone, and on behalf of our entire church family, I want you to know we are glad that you are here today. I'm so glad that you got to hear from Jody. We got to hear from God today. What a great word. What a timely word for all of us, and we want to know, what has God done in